Previously on 1P D&D.
The whole north is under threat of giant kind right now.
They dug up this giant thing, and it said something about iron slag?
Arms and armor crafted by the royal armorer of Citadel Felibar.
I'm guessing that probably took him.
No.
If you're going north anyway, try and find our dwarf friend.
She turns towards the road and heads north.
Where is iron slag?
Travel east. There, on a cold mountainside, you'll find a village of Yak folk, and below that, the forge of the Fire Duke.
You're now at the ribs of this mountain range called the Spine of the World. One of your legs is severed from just below the knee down.
This is more trouble than I've been in a long time.
You put your crutch on a small cushion of pine needles, and a snare whips it up. You see, standing holding a bow trained directly at you, is Thanriel.
Thanriel, come on! It's me!
You know Thanriel?
Yeah, do you?
He is my younger brother. Teyvah, we're wasting our time here. Princess is still missing. Our princess was kidnapped by skinwalkers. They have a village high in the mountains at the doorstep of Ironslag. Bring her back to us.
Let's go to Citadel Felibar.
Looks like there's some sort of fort up in the mountain. What business brings you to our court?
I must ask one more favor. Do you have anyone who could craft something to help me get around?
Well, build it to your specifications. All right, so you are going to design a leg.
I think it's a bear paw at the bottom. And she gives him some money.
He puts his hands up and refuses. He's like, no, please, you're on a mission on behalf of the smith who trained me. You can thank him for that leg when you bring him back to us.
We must be organized by sides of faces into small groupings.
That's my Dice Goblin voice.
Okay, so now you have a leg, and I think they also give you a pretty dwarven dress, which would be a little bit short on Myri, but, you know, it's not a floor-length gown, but it's a pretty dress.
Yep, it's cute. What does a dwarven dress look like?
I imagine there's, like, a lot of shoulders. I think they're very pants-suity.
I was like, I feel like it's... Have you watched A Knight's Tale?
Not recently, but yeah.
The girl smith? I feel like it's like that. Like a leather apron, but long.
Yeah, but it's soft. I feel like it's a doe skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like cow's leather. Uh-huh. It's not like hard and stiff, but it's like, yeah, this kind of like burlap. Or silk is to this as burlap is to like polyester.
100%.
And so, yes, you are welcome to this feast hall that is laden with steaming meats and breads, cheeses and stews, citrus fruits, beets, cabbage rolls, pierogies, like, you know, dumpling. I've decided mid-sentence that they have Russian cuisine.
I think that's fair.
Pelmeni and paprikash. And my friend owns a Russian restaurant, and I was there yesterday. So I'm just reciting her menu.
I went to one Russian restaurant.
Kielbasa.
And it was so nice, and the people were so nice. And it was in the grossest part of Hollywood. And I just remember, like, walking in this, like, weird strip mall and it being, like, beautiful inside. And literally, I was the only person speaking English there. I was there alone, so I, like, heard everybody else's conversations just from, like, being quiet. And it was, like, so cool. Everyone was so sweet. And the waiter, when he brought my check, saw my last name. And he was like, this is a Russian last name. I'm like, all right. I mean, yeah, kind of, maybe. Like, I was never there, but thank you, I guess. And he's like, yeah, come back anytime. And I was like, okay.
So yes, all of this food is here in this table. The king and queen welcome you and say, how's the leg treating you?
Incredible. I wish I could lose more limbs.
If you truly are serious about going to Ironslag, like, that might be in your future.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, anyway, she like sits down in her seat.
And the queen says, let us eat, then we can talk about business.
She gives a nod and waits for other people to start taking food, and once a couple people have, starts putting a bunch of stuff on her plate.
Yeah, for sure. You load it up, and like your cheeks are full of dumplings. He like takes a bite of a sausage and says, we were left 2 weeks after. And she goes, honey, please. And he's just sitting there biding his time, like rocking back and forth a little bit, waiting for you to finish eating.
And I'm like, into it. I don't even notice this is happening. I was just like,
yeah, I feel like there's a time lapse of you just like piling away food, and then you're mopping up some sauce with a little bit of bread off your plate, and then as you go to put it in your mouth, Hio goes to speak Now then, and you like reach and grab another like pastry off of a plate and put it on yours. Uh-huh. At long last, you're full up.
I've almost reached twice more, and then I've stopped it, and I've sat back in my chair.
Yeah, you're reaching it. Unbuckle your belt a little bit, unkneecap your bear head a little bit.
You flick the bear, and you hear like a...
Gravy starts pouring out of its mouth.
None of that's real, but I love it.
None of that's Kanan, but...
Kanan! Oh!
Right then. You may have noticed walking around Ironslag, our population is not the booming at this time. We're trying to incentivize more dwarves to come settle here, but with the recent reclaiming of Gondolgrim and Mithril Hall, our people are spread thin, and arming the citadel itself is already a task. We're too fragile after the War of the Silver Marches to launch a frontal assault on a giant stronghold. The doors of Ironslag are 50 feet tall, made of 5-foot thick adamantine. We'd never be able to lay siege to it, and even if we could, our scouts have reported that they're being supplied food from a village of yak folk living up by their chimney. We would never outlast the winter. They would. However, we likewise can't wait until they have built whatever it is they're planning to in there. So, we're asking you, Myri Stone Daughter, friend of Gellerin Fauxhammer, infiltrate their fortress, destroy their operations, and bring back proof to us that they're no longer a threat. We will reward you as handsomely as a dwarf king can.
Myri has a sudden pang of guilt and fear and a tiny bit of hope for Stevie. Because, man, Stevie would be so happy to hear that. She'd be so excited we were going to get paid, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
She just really hopes she's okay. They're okay, wherever they're at today.
Cut to Stevie, like, holding Aramora's jaw open with, like, two bare hands.
Yeah.
As, like, fire is welling up in it. Just like, hi, shite.
Yeah. I will do my best. Giant's stronghold isn't the greatest of sentences to say, but, you know, I've done worse.
And that is a tale, I am sure. You're not going to be able to take down a giant single-handedly. I respect your powers and your prowess. Getting this far means you've got to have some strength and guile, but you won't be able to survive a one-on-one encounter with a giant.
I don't disagree.
However, as long as the fire giant Duke has sway over his forces, they're a threat to us. I don't have advice on how you're going to do this, but I know stealth will be key to you.
And as he's saying this, an attendant comes up, you know, whispers something in the queen's ear, and she goes, oh, bring him in. And, a baby dwarf, so small, so tiny, the size of a grapefruit, is brought to the queen.
No! Just,
No.
A grapefruit?
Who's fussing now there? Why you're not letting the nurses do their jobs, Emrys?
And the king stands up and goes and coos over the boy. She looks up at you and says,
there is hope for dwarf kind yet. The next generation is inheriting a difficult world. But we're doing our best to make it safe for them.
If I can, dear Theodosian.
Our rule is recent. Our cousin, King Emrys Warcrown, was a hero in the war, and he died helping to retake Gondolgrim. This wee little Emrys carries on his name, and we hope carries on his legacy.
Mm.
You're fighting for our future, Myri.
I just hope to do your future justice.
And they nod and smile and rock the baby back and forth as plates are cleared by servants, and, you know, it's still royalty. Like, you're still being waited on. Hand and...
feet?
Hand and feet. Hey!
Got him.
All right. Anything else you want to do in this dwarven castle?
Where am I going to find a friend to help me fight? This is going to be risky. Oh, I need potions. Speaking of risk. Do they have healing things here, yay or nay?
Yeah, I think there is. In a dwarven citadel, there's the royal apothecary.
Cool. I want to buy some posh.
Alright, you are led by a guard to this small, kind of unassuming shop in the market district.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, the steam kind of wafting out of the doorway, and it smells like cumin.
Good. She walks in and there's like very neat. Everything in the room is built very precise, parallel everything, but all of what's on it is like chaos. So there's like bottles on their side to like squish together closer, like triangle bottles are next to triangle bottles upside down, like as as can fit. But like the structure itself is beautifully organized, but the stock is not.
And there's this dwarven woman with like her hair in twin blonde pigtails buns, you know, where they like wrap in and you can't see.
Yes.
You can't see where they start or where they begin. Uh-huh. But there's two of them. They look like, kind of like teddy bear ears.
Uh-huh.
And she's fussing over a cauldron and like she's got big thick leather gloves on and like heavy like a welder's mask.
Uh-huh.
And she's like got a flamethrower pointed at the top of this cauldron, like simmering it and like keeping crazy. These on it like a creme brulee.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Cool.
And she
Marty like closes her eyes really quick and she walks in. She's like, oh god! And then sees that it's gone and blinks it out.
Well, I think that's going to turn out nicely. Hello! What can I do for you, human girl?
Hello! I'm just in the market for some healing potions before I head out and go on my suicide mission.
I didn't hear that last bit, but healing potions I can do. Ah, I can see by your leg. You're the one they've been talking about, aren't you?
Yep, that's... And she pulls up her pant leg and shows off.
Yeah, for sure.
That's me.
Healing potions. Hopefully you won't be needing them, but I'd rather send you out with them than have you been wanting them when you're on the mountainside.
Aye, me too.
I can give you one for free as a token of my faith and you going out for the dwarfkin.
That's sweet. I'd love to have 5 total.
I can give you for friend prices. It'll be 100 gold for the... Each for the other 4. So 400 will bring you up and I'll throw in a 5th for free.
I'll do it.
Excellently done. Here you go. I'll just bottle them.
She takes like a giant pair of tongs and thunk puts them down into this deep well and pulls out this steaming, like very carefully pours it into 5 bottles.
Cute. You can just give it to me in a growler, if that's easier.
You're going to be the one to have the proper doses. Hold on just a moment. I can get you a growler, though, if you want. I also brew beer.
Oh, really? I'll take a growler, for sure.
She, like, puts a nozzle into this metal, like, stein that's got a happy, like, drunk dwarf holding his belly on the handle.
Oh, cute. Short legs, long kegs.
She packs it in and, you know, has one of those, like, claspy seals. Like an old soda Mountain Springs bottle?
Totally.
Yes, exactly. Like the one you have. Like if you're homebrewing some kombucha, listeners. Everybody in my life, nobody got on board with a sourdough craze, but everybody in my life is making kombucha right now.
That is because you live in Hippieville.
That's true.
No one I know is making kombucha. Who wasn't already making kombucha?
My microbiome is flourishing.
Ugh, I wish I liked it. I wish I was into it.
I'm not into it. I just don't give a shit. They're like shrubs. Like, I'm like, cool. Is this all you have? What if you had the beverage that I wanted, but not tangy?
The only good one I've had is a whale bird.
Made with real whale.
Yep, made with real whale. That's why I like it. I hate creatures of the earth.
And especially of the ocean.
I had a friend who worked at the zoo who was vegetarian, but ate fish because she hated the ocean. And was like, the less in there that's living, the better.
Oh. So she's an idiot.
No, she's just afraid. She doesn't want to be pulled into the deeps by some ancient creature. So she's like, I kill them all. I eat them.
It's all connected. The tiniest spider, the largest bear.
I get it. What were we talking about? Oh, beer.
Beer. Beer. Good kombucha.
Yeah.
Kombucha is like they're what is the thing those kids when I chaperoned that trip my kids taught me Espy girls.
What does that mean?
Vico girls?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
VSCO girls?
Yeah, Visco girls. Visco girls.
Isn't that just someone who takes pretty pictures though? We are really aging ourselves in this. Oh, hello fellow kids.
Here we are playing make-believe into the radio.
Ask me about Gaia Online, okay? I was cool once.
I remember Kingdom of Loathing and Neopets. My friends were telling me about Kingdom of Death or Kingdom Death, whose art leads me to believe it was designed by me when I was 14. And all of the characters are very breasted.
I was about to say, boob level high?
pretty high boob level.
Boob threat orange.
My friends introduced me to the term turbo virgin.
What? It's good. Turbo's very Star Wars, too.
Turbo had a surgence in the early aughts and fell back away. Back when everything was unleashed, everything was turbo.
It's very true.
Gotta bring that back. Instead, we're making up all these new words. You now have 5 potions and beer. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
Wait, I need to pay for the beer.
Oh, that'll be another 20 place. So 420 gold all told. Yeah, kids. Fucking yeah.
Oh, so cool.
Oh, my brain. I feel like my brain just ran out my ear. It's like, goodbye. We're done.
I'm clapping for me.
You owe me $10 for that one.
There ain't no such thing.
But if you can work 69 into this episode, I'll pay it right back. Gotta have both. I think that's all I want to do. Yes. Okay, that's it. That's all I want.
Grant, as you head toward the door.
Quick housekeeping. Did I do a rest?
Yes. You rested and feasted, and you slept in a bed that was a little bit too small for you, so your feet hung over the edge, and you heard a voice say, wait. And the smith runs up to you, and he says, I'm glad I caught you. Didn't do a very thorough check of your inventory, did you?
I was just about to say. Go on.
I hope you don't mind, but I didn't want to blow up your spot, but I noticed you had a drowcraft sword on you.
Yes.
No self-respecting apprentice of Galvin Fohammer was about to let him be saved by a woman using drowcraft weapons. So took the liberty of making a few modifications. I took your swords, and I'm
not. She looks down, and she's like, I'm really losing my thing. I used to be good at this, okay?
You were tired.
He did it while I was looking at my leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were, like, looking at your leg all shiny, and he's like, shh. Yeah, and you see the bear engraved, shh, and the runes.
Yep.
As he pulls them out of your scabbards. He presents to you a sword that you can see has kind of the curve and point of Smile.
I understand what's happening.
He smelted Smile and Spinneret to make Spider Bite. Spider Bite is a +2 short sword that does piercing damage. It has the finesse property, so you can use your dex modifier. It also does 1d6 poison, and the target must 1d6 poison, and the target must make a constitution save against your spell save DC or fall unconscious.
She, first of all, looks down at her two swords.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. I just realized you're barefooted.
Uh-huh.
You have a bare foot.
I didn't even see what I planted.
I didn't either. We just got there. I'm sorry. Whew. I want you to enjoy the sword that you just got, but I needed to. I couldn't hold that in.
I'm mad at myself. I chose this. That humor training, it runs deep, man.
It's in your bones.
All $3,000. She looks down and goes, oh, I forgot I had a second sword. And sees that empty scabbard too. And then looks at it. Takes it gently. She looks at it and he explains everything it does.
Mm.
This is the finest weapon I've ever seen. I can't really make the reference I want to make, but it is Jane holding Vera.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't say it's my very favorite sword. It won't work.
This is my very favorite sword.
It's that vibe.
Yes.
And she gently puts it in to her scabbard and is like, thank you. You've really helped.
Just bring back Galvin and we're even.
I won't fail, she says to herself and him.
The guard leads you down through the gates. Out into the freezing cold. It's still winter, dude. It's the 14th of Nightall, for those of you keeping track at home. She had a few days of rest. Guard points off in the distance too, and he says,
as Mount Hammerhast, it's where Ironslag was built of old. Open the gates down front, or find an alternative way in. Our scouts report to the Yak Folk village up at the top.
When we say Yak Folk, Are these people yaks or people who use yaks?
Yes. They're like minotaurs, but they also like use, I was going to say regular yaks.
Full yak?
Whole yaks? Yakety yaks? But they don't talk back.
Dislike. You are too happy with your jokes today, and I hate it.
It's going to be a cold, rugged hinterland you have to cross.
What do I want? Let's...
I don't want to give you too much more, what do you call it, intel.
Exposition.
Yeah, I want, okay, you to, I want you to find some stuff on your own.
Okay, great.
I want you to find some stuff on your own. $2,900 in comedy classes, but I...
How much for the BFA?
Not so much for the enunciation. We're not worried how much the BFA costs.
I knew that joke was going to be too real. I'm sorry. Anyway, but you got it, right? You're full beat buffad.
Yep. I'm better than everyone. And I have the piece of paper to prove it.
You hear that, world? She thanks for the warning and then looks to the sky and starts walking. She hasn't had a leg in a while. She's going to walk for at least a little bit.
Yeah, I got to break it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
About like 20 minutes in, when she knows no one's looking at her, she does some more test runs. She like climbs a tree and it like clicks into it, which is like very fun. She runs through the snow and tries a pirouette. Still can't do them. Never could.
Never could, but that, hey, now definitely no.
Definitely not.
I love that. Yeah, you play in the snow and frolic with your new leg for a while.
It's very tangled when she gets out of the tower.
And the dwarf guard's looking down at you, goes, so,
that's our only hope.
Yup. Yeah. Flop, plop, snow angel.
Looks at the bear paw at the bottom of the angel.
Yeah.
More like a snow harpy, am I right? She says to no one.
We're doomed.
Oh, good. Great.
All right. The mountain that he pointed to, about 100 miles away.
I think I walk for like 2 hours, and then I get on broom.
Cool.
Can I look for berries while I'm walking?
Yeah.
I rolled a 3.
You confirm that there are no berries.
And then I get on my broom, and I kick off into the air and fly towards.
You eventually come to the foot of the mountain, the root of the mountain. There is an enormous door. The same color as the rock of the mountain. It's not like shiny, bright steel, but you can see it is perfectly square. They're not trying to hide it. And it is larger than a giant would need, too. It is meant to be impressive, even to their kind. It's 50 feet high, made of solid metal, and appears to be... Well, I mean, it's shut. It appears to be shut because it is. The way is shut. It was made by giants, and the giants keep it. The way is shut.
She wants to scan for, like, another way in.
Make a perception check. Perception or investigation. And what I will tell you depends on which one you do. So let me know.
Perception 9.
After watching for a long time, though, it might just be your imagination getting the better of you, but you think you can hear hammering and churning and the sounds of, like, industry very, very, very faintly.
Okay. I want to fly above, and I don't see anyone, like, at all on the outside.
No, you don't.
I'm going to fly up and get a closer look and see if there's some sort of cave, either, like, above or nearby.
Do me a favor. Actually, I'm just going to ask you, is it day or is it nighttime?
Dusk.
Cool. So there's still light to see by, but it's getting dark.
Yeah.
All right. You fly up and circling around this mountain. Make another perception check, please.
19.
Okay. First thing you notice is a staircase that starts on the far eastern side of the doors and climbs up over the top of the doors, like hugging that side of the mountain, and makes its way up to a village that you can see now. It is right up above the cloud level. And in fact, clouds are coming in. The sky is like darkened, which is good for you. The advantage is stealth. But it also does make it difficult to see. But with a 19, you can still tell. There's these stairs that head up to this small village. There's walls of granite surrounding two distinct sections of the village. And there's a small bridge crossing between them. You can see a river tumbling down and water falling down below the bridge. And there's like terraced farms like in Peru up on the hillside. And you can see also joining among the clouds a column of smoke venting out of the mountain.
Okay. So there's two city walls connected by a bridge, right? Is the river like between them?
No, there's air between them. The river stops where the bridge, where that gap is, but it's a waterfall.
So it's just like a big drop.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to go sneakily see if there's somewhere to land over near the top of the stairs and get a closer look at this wall situation, see what kind of guard duty she's dealing with, and if this is Yakman or not.
Okay. You fly up into the clouds and make your way over near the final landing of the stairs. So not like on the landing itself, but as if you're walking up. You're looking down below at what is thousands of steps, and I think thanking Timora for your broom.
100%.
Although think about how good your butt would
good
be.
Butts.
It'd be so good. Flash to Stevie at a similar staircase, like albatrossing and looking down at it, being very thankful, but mourning. Okay, make a stealth check, please.
Natural 20.
When you need it most, too. You silently make your way up to these granite walls. They're about 20 feet high. You can't see anything on the other side of them from down low where you are.
How climbable they looking?
They are granite held together with mortar. Pretty damn climbable.
Bricks to grip. I'm going to climb this wall and peek my head over.
Make an athletics check.
15.
You almost slip at one point, but then catch yourself, and you go to kick down, and your bare foot catches the edge of it. And then you haul yourself over, and you drop. Or you're on the top of the wall. I won't tell you that you drop over, necessarily. On the top of the wall ahead, you can see three circular huts. One of them is larger than the other two, and is at the farther northern section of this village. And it is connected to a water wheel that you can see the river is turning before cascading over the mountainside. The wheel is connected to an iron axle. Just below you, you can see a hut that is more of a square shape and a thatched roof. The hut smells vaguely of animal musk. And you can see there is an iron cage in the like yard area of it.
Anything in the cage?
Make a perception check.
That's right. 17.
There are two dwarves locked inside the cage.
Oh no. I thought it was going to be a big dog, but it's people.
They are nude and sleeping.
It's so cold though.
They're like leaned up against one another. Yeah, it is. They are shivering.
Don't love that for them. Very sad. Is there anything else alive in this township?
Not that you can see. Although from your vantage on the roof, you can see at the far edge of the, I'll call it compound of this part of the village.
Yeah.
You can see there's another cage.
So the cage that's in front of me is north or no?
Yeah, it's immediately north of you. You're at the southernmost edge. I'm starting you at the bottom. Now you're here.
And three guard towers. No one in sight. Smoke coming out from the mountain.
But not from here.
And a city to my...
I wouldn't call it a city so much, but to your west there is a village.
Yes.
There's another village compound. You can see like from where you stand on the parapet. It's dark at this point. And you can see,
yep.
Limited in the darkness, you can see there's more outlines of buildings.
Cool. Damn, if only I had an unlocky door spell. But that's okay. That's what these tools are for. Oh, I forgot about that. Fun. So, she steps up onto the parapet, and the only reason I know that word is because of Hamilton. And she starts...
Yeah, there's a young man waving a white handkerchief.
And she, like, noiselessly, barefoot, little foot. He was over doing this and looks down, kisses a ring, and falls off the edge of it.
You fall silently into the yard behind this, like near the cage.
And she's gonna sneak around to the cage, keeping her eye open for anyone. Is there a window in the building that the cage is near?
There is.
I look inside.
It is dark inside, but the smell of animal musk rises stronger, and you can hear heavy breathing of animals.
Okay, so it smells of horses. It
smells like a horse?
Or hoofstock? Yeah, okay, great.
It smells like a barn.
Right.
Pee and hay.
Miss it. just thinking about giraffes. And she sneaks around to the front and takes a look at the lock and looks for any magic.
Make an arcana check.
Natural one.
It appears to be a regular lock.
She's going to try and pick it, but if one of these dwarves wakes up from her movements, she's going to be like, shh, no. Mm-hmm. Finger to lips, like, don't mess this up.
Roll a thieves tools check.
Dirty 20. No. A lascivious 20. I still don't know how to say that word.
I think just lascivious.
Ugh, damn it. It's like the Schuyler sisters. The Schuyler sisters.
The Schuyler sisters. And Piggy. The lock quietly unlocks, and the dwarves do rouse and see you.
My prepped action was a finger to lips.
Who are you?
I'm here to rescue you.
Fine, you're not stormtroopering, but it's fine. You're here to rescue them.
No! Well, I've never seen one.
Right, fair, right.
They're not common, right?
No, they're not.
They wouldn't have been, like, Waterdeep Yakvolt traders. I wish I was for the joke, but no.
Right, no, of course. But you all get what we're doing, right, audience?
How spooky would it be, though, if I took my illusion head off and it was just me?
This is very, like, video gamey. Like, two slaves, freed.
I know. I love it.
There's more slaves throughout the village.
Yeah, this is the Yakvolt place.
It is. Don't trust them. You can't trust them.
Noted. Is that what I smell over here? She gestures to the building.
That's the barn. That's where they keep the yakety yaks. They sleep in those huts there, and they gesture to the two smaller ones next to the other cage.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do?
They are covering their nakedness.
I give them a blanket. I'm sure I have blankets.
You do.
I throw some blankets at them. I mean, how quiet do you think the stock will be in here? There's got to be some sort of clothes or wraps or anything.
They shake their head. Nothing in the barn. Everything stripped off of their captives is kept in the main hut with their chief on the other side.
She looks to the western half of this commune.
From here, all you can see is a wall. But
this kibitz. Yeah. I'll see if I can get some supplies. But in the meantime, just stay safe. I'm sorry.
They just went to bed. If you're going to be sneaking, you might want to wait until later at night.
When they're more deeply asleep?
Exactly. They'll sleep through the night. Although the beast comes out. We've seen it flying sometimes, breathing fire.
I guess stay put. She dummy locks the thing by, closing it, but not locking it.
Mm-hmm.
But she leaves the blankets. Just fuck it.
Yeah, dude.
And, I guess she finds a place to hide out.
All right.
Let it get a little darkier.
It gets a little darker. Think, okay, it's probably... What even the most nocturnal would be sleeping now.
Right. Yeah, I start sneaking towards the next cage area. I'm going to go risk unlocking the people first.
Okay. There are two cages, and you can hear the faint sleeping bodies inside the huts. You can see two dwarves in one and an elf in another, shivering cold on the ground.
I'll go unlock two dwarves first.
Make a thief's tools check.
And I'm going to prep my finger to say shush. 24.
It swings open easily, and they rouse one another and goes,
should we follow you?
She shakes her head, though. Just be ready to run if you need to. Stay here. And then she goes over to the elf.
Roll it, darling.
I think I'm lucky. 21.
You break the lock beyond repair, and the moon elf looks up and holds her hands and says, why would you do this? And then Prince of Persia uses luck and it opens.
I'm working on getting us equipment. Do you, not to make assumptions, do you do magic?
I have no talent for magic.
Okay, for now, stay put.
Am I just waiting for you?
If you need to, go, for sure, but I mean, I'm going to get us some supplies and equipment, hopefully, to help make that a little easier.
All right. I'll wait your signal. There's more slaves on the other compound, and many more down in the mines below.
I was going to say, is there a way to get to the mines below?
They indicate where the water wheel is connected to.
That lift takes people down into the mines.
Okay. I'll be back. She goes towards the other encampment side.
Okay. So you have unlocked 5 prisoners. And the gate is barred on this side with a heavy oak beam. It is super cloudy and very dark now. In fact, it is now getting so dark you can barely see in front of you.
And I scale the wall.
Make an athletics check.
12.
You scramble and climb up against it, but you can't get a good footing, and you slide back down to the bottom. You hear a... and there's the constant of the water wheel. The wind is beginning to pick up as well.
So I can either lift this great big bar or go on a water wheel and jump. It's so dumb. This is such a bad idea, but I want it. Let's do it anyway.
Huh, I could use the door. Or...
the door might be helpful if I need to make a quick run back. No, let's do the door. She gently lifts this bar and is going to try and pick it up and put it off to the side.
Make a strength check.
Unnatural. 20.
Kunk. You like tap it with your fingers and it pops up into your hands and you set it off over on the side. The door is unbarred.
Cool. I push through it slowly.
Mm-hmm. You can see the ruins of an old bridge directly in front of you connecting to a gate on the other side. And then you can see the new bridge slightly down below on the stairs. You are now above the clouds. So looking down into the chasm, you can just see mist in the dark, kind of barely silver.
Crazy. Okay, so she goes down the stairs and she starts to cross the bridge. And she's eyeing the parapets of the place across the way to see if anybody's up there too.
Mm-hmm. Make a perception check with disadvantage.
21.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that there's anybody on the walls themselves. They're not like, they don't appear to be walls that are meant to be guarded. They're more keep out walls than they are lookout walls.
Coffee.
Especially since the only entrance really is this staircase. The bridge is a classic Indiana Jonesy type rope bridge with planks swaying. As you step onto it, it shakes back and forth in the wind.
Oh my god.
Make your way across and find a way on the other side safely.
She climbs the staircase on this side.
Mm-hmm.
And takes a peek at the door.
It is identical to the door directly across from it.
So probably is a bar on the other side. Then I'll give her a climb.
Make an athletics check.
That's better. A little bit of luck gives me a 23.
With a little bit of luck, the rock that came loose in your hand in an alternate reality held fast, and you pull yourself up over. Are you right next to the gate?
Yeah.
To your right, you can see another high wooden gate, and beyond that, this turning iron device that is being pushed by the water wheel. Immediately ahead of
like
you.
Like an elevator?
Yes, exactly like an elevator. Okay. But it's like a corkscrew lift, so it comes up to the top and then goes back down. Directly ahead of you, so if you're facing the way that you would if you were entering the gate, there is a small hut.
Copy. Yeah, I do the same thing where I drop down and I float down with my ring of feather fall and I hit the snow in a crouch.
It's very Tibetan. Yeah, there's cool. Peace flags strewn between this hut and the one next to it that white girls will bring home from their gap year.
Good. I'm going to go unlock some more cages first. So she gets out, she sees the one hut in front of her and is circling it quietly looking for cages.
You don't have to look too far. There is an iron cage outside. You can see an elf laying down inside of it.
Great. She goes to pick that lock. 11.
You can't
open it.
Figure this one out. Yeah.
Okay.
The elf wakes up.
Shh. We're gonna have to circle back around this.
My princess is in the hut over there.
Oh my god, the princess. She's here. Forgot. There's been a lot of people asking me for favors.
Please help her.
Understood. Just hang tight, I guess. Do you know magic? Never mind. And she's gonna go to the next cages.
There's a pair of them in between two huts.
Okay.
One has an elf inside it, one has two dwarves.
Elf inside, 24.
Opens easily.
I give him the spiel.
My princess is in the lodge hut.
Yeah, help. I know, I know. Then,
goddamn NPC dialogue.
My friend, her boyfriend is playing Skyrim for the first time, and they've been doing a thing where they walk into rooms and say Skyrim NPC dialogue to each other. That's it.
I think
it's so great. Have you come to Dragon's Reach to talk about the ongoing hostilities? what am I adding? 8 to this, so 23.
Yeah, that one opens.
there are more slaves in the mines below.
I know, I've heard. Here's the deal. Be right back. Stay here, I guess. Can you pick locks? I might need help with that one.
If we could pick locks, we wouldn't still be in here.
Got it. I'll find some keys.
But I secreted this away, and he reaches behind himself for a second. And then we cut away for a moment and just look at Myri's face, go, oh, and her eyes open wide. And he holds out to you a shiny green Peridot.
Whoa. I've never heard it pronounced that way, by the way. But really? I don't know if I've ever heard it pronounced, so. And this is just cute, right? It's not magic.
It appears to be just cute.
Oh, shiny. Thank you. I mean, also, where were you holding this? You're naked.
There are more slaves in the mines below.
You've said that already. Got it. But she presses A real quick. Dummy locks it. And is dummy lock a normal thing? Have you heard that phrase before?
No, but I get what you mean by it. Like, make it look like it's locked.
Zookeepers say that.
I don't work in incarcerations like you used to.
Oh! Zinger! Zinger. Yeah, I mixed feelings. She goes towards the chieftain's hut.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to episode 58, of 1P D&D, with Beverly Jean as Myri's stone daughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did the music, and this episode was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast adventure, Storm King's Thunder. Hey, so, sorry, this one is up pretty late, close to deadline, we could say, unless it's after midnight by the time I finally finish uploading this, in which case it is late. So all of the gold star havers that I celebrated last week, sorry for the delay. I hope you don't mind too hard, and I hope you enjoy it and think it was worth the extra time that it took. If you do enjoy the extra time and feel like somebody has too much on their hands, why don't you recommend this podcast to them? Tell them to put it in their ears and make it happen in their brain eyes, and then they can color while they listen to it and then send us the doodles, because that is what communities do with podcasts, and our podcast is only as cool as its community. You know what? That reminds me. You can interact with us on social media. At 1PDND is the Instagram. Hashtag 1PDND is Twitter. That's 1 like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. Also, just a quick note about this episode. I realized after the fact there's a moment that's about to happen where I basically say these NPCs can't be a princess because they're male. Of course, regardless of whatever parts you're working with, you can still be a princess. But I wasn't thinking. So I made a little slip up, and I'm sorry if anybody was like miffed by that. I hope you weren't, and that you know that I'll do my best to make sure that doesn't happen again. It's like gendering Stevie. I still slip up sometimes, but they are a water genasi and very slippery. Should stop making excuses. The next episode will be up next Wednesday or very early Thursday morning, and that will be the, I want to say, 7th? God, life is a nightmare, but at least it's going quickly. I will see you all then.
Tell me what I'm looking at here.
You are looking at a large, round wooden hut. It's built on a kind of raised platform. There's a beaded curtain on the northeast wall, and there does not appear to be another entrance.
Is there a jar of kombucha being brewed near the beaded curtain?
There are fire urns, pit? Urns of kombucha.
These yak men got scoby up the gills. Great.
It smells like pot and patchouli.
Not my favorite smells.
No, not mine either. People choose to smell like that, Lee.
I know. But I think patchouli has like a bunch of benefits to like hair and skin, so I get it. But it's not a nice smell.
Also, as you circle around this hut looking for entrances in, you can see the dark shapes of two more buildings to the east and another one to the north.
So, are there any open windows?
No, just the beaded curtain.
I suppose it's
in this yurt.
Nighttime. It's nighttime. I'm sorry. It's wintertime is the words I was looking for.
Yes.
Why would they have open windows? I want to try and go in the front door. I'm not going to a bead curtain if I can help it.
No, that is the only entrance. That is the front door.
Copy. Dang, that sucks. Okay. And there's no lights inside, right?
Nope.
All right. I'm going to go to this curtain.
Okay.
Be very quiet as I go through it.
Make a stealth check with disadvantage.
Both single digits. 17.
All right. You scoot the sheaf of curtains to the side and carefully bring it back behind you. Inside, you can see, I mean, it's dark, so you can't really make out much.
No dark vision for humans.
Yeah, and you're inside now, so there's not even, like, the kind of, midnight, like, ambient light of the night. Yeah, you can't see shit, Captain.
Okay. Using honed skills as a person who sneaks places, and my senses of hearing and smell, etc., does it feel like there's a Yakman near me?
Make a perception check. Again, with disadvantage.
10. It's mostly like, can I hear breathing? And how close is
you
the
can.
Real question?
You can hear breathing coming from the far side of you, like directly ahead of you, but across. And you hear a, psst. Hello?
Shh. You said the thing itself is 60 feet across?
Yeah, the hut.
So it's like a big 60-foot large room.
Yeah. Copy. It's like a yurt.
Copy. I couldn't tell if you meant high or across. And I was
sorry.
Dang,
no.
That's a tall yurt.
No, yeah, across.
Copy. I'm going to light a hooded lantern for close hood.
5 feet of dim light, like a candle.
I go towards the voice, slowly revealing the room as I do. The 5 feet in front of me.
There are two elves in a cage inside.
Does one of them look very royal?
They're both male.
Oh, dang. She's going to point to them and be like, I gotta tell people what I'm doing. She points to them. She makes a crown motion with her head. And then a shruggy, like, is she here?
Who are you?
I know, Teyva.
You shouldn't have come here.
She instinctively looks behind her, because usually something bad is behind her when somebody says that. Is there anything there?
You hear a, oh, ho, 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 ho. You didn't say someone who loves you, but circumstances are too... You see lanterns lit by these two, what look like minotaurs, but yaks. They have dark, shaggy fur and ornate earrings hanging down from dressed horns. And they're wearing like these kind of like silken like dresses and a lot of beaded jewelry. And a big, fat one hanging out in the middle, and chained at his feet is a nude female elf.
Good. I see what you did there.
Do you see what I did there? Yes.
I do. I see it.
Uh-huh.
I don't think she's nude, though.
She's not. She's wearing a gold fan service bikini.
Uh-huh.
This one, it explicitly states in the book, they are naked. And I was like, all right, Perkins.
Somebody was lonely.
It's so that they can't hide weapons anywhere. Whatever you say, Perkins.
That's what you think, Perkins. Yeah. Joke's on you. You're just not thinking with portals.
Rule number 69, always be thinking with portals.
Here it is! Yay! Everybody drink! Grab your beverage! Whiskey.
Mine was whiskey.
Wait, really?
I poured it last night and I was getting too sleepy and I didn't want to finish it, but then it was just sitting here and I was thirsty, so I grabbed it.
Fun! I love it.
Let's get day drunk.
I have a headache for 2 days because I drank. That's my life. It's fine. The headache is more likely because I was outside for so long. I'm very weak physically.
I am not a desert people.
Okay, what happens? Are they coming? What do I do?
they slide forward and says something in Yakaria. It might as well be.
Cool. I have the helmet.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I wanted to hear your voice, though.
So you have the subtitles. So Chief Karthakaya says, who are you that skulks about in the night? You have not had an opportunity to enjoy Yak folk hospitality. If you had knocked at the door, we would have let you in.
You can't knock on beads, she says in common.
I meant the gate. Please, can we offer you some food? Some pipe tobacco? Make yourself comfortable. What is your name, my honored guest?
She eyes him. Is this a joke? Or does this guy want to hang?
Make an insight check. That's what that is.
13.
He seems sincere. You know, you're sneaking around in his place at the middle of the night, and he's like, why not just ring the doorbell?
She's going to play along either way right now. She steps away from the elves that she was crouching near, puts her lantern away, and steps in front of him.
As you step forward, you step on a carpet that falls and gives way into a large pit. No, wait! There is a shuffling sound as the dais that he is on is pushed forward by his wives. And Halani goes, oh no.
The Chimera.
And you fall into this pit. And you hear this. There's a against this wooden grate, and then three heads emerge immediately. You can see goat, lion, and dragon. It has a serpentine tail and dragon-like wings and stands forward on lion's front paws. It roars at you. Roll initiative.
Oh my god! Oh, what a waste. I rolled a 20. Together, it's 27.
You go first.
Let me get some cool music going, though. Oh, I know what I'm gonna do!
Rancor.
Why is this some Star Wars battle music, baby? By the way, did you see that viral video of the guy being like, all the Star Wars movies are named wrong?
Yes, I saw it because of you.
I learned it from you.
I learned it by following you.
That's it. There's a sketch there. You're welcome, America. Okay, I get to go first. There's a thing.
It's got three heads. And you have a quick flashback to a giant two-headed demon that you have seen. And then flashback.
Why does it always have to be multiple heads?
I realize I could have let you do the... talking with him a little bit more, but you step forward onto the thing, and I was like, "Yeah, she steps forward."
It's so perfect. It's so perfect. Part of me wants to hookshot one of these wives in here with me.
Oh shit!
Does it feel like it would be an impossible check, strength wise?
No, I'm just wondering where you got the hookshot.
Well, arrow and no string. I would tie a knot.
You don't have enough time.
6 seconds is all the time in the world. But instead, she's gonna go. Oh, I don't need to die again. mirror image. First action.
Whom.
Turns into four of her. All go, oh man. Again, and they look at each other like, I know, right? You'd think by now they'd at least give us like benefits or something.
Hey, we're not going to make it out of this live, you know. We need to unionize.
And then they all look down and look up with a fire in their eyes, all matching now. I think in the beginning, the first like 2 seconds, everyone's like, just doing fine in the other realms, you know? And then this is the timelines in Community, the Community Chaos Theory episode, these are all actual Myris.
They get brought together. Yeah. Every time you use luck and like go backwards and undo something, it brings one of those Myris into this reality.
Yes!
Many of them died in their reality, so this is actually an upgrade.
It's good too, because they're all unlucky. Uh-huh. And they pull out both swords. Get ready.
Get ready to get wrecked in a cute way.
She draws spider bite and then holds her hand out forward in front of her in those like open palm, and like hexblade appears in it. And she's like, all right, let's go. With that confidence.
Okay. Speaking of fire in their eyes, the dragon head opens its mouth.
No!
So this is an area of effect attack. I'm not sure how that affects mirror image. Because you're all standing in a row in a cone.
Only attack rolls that require a D20 roll to hit affect mirror image.
Okay, so the images won't be...
Let me see. I think it's not affected. Every effect spells don't do anything to duplicates from mirror image.
So, Myri, go ahead and make a dexterity check.
Yes. That makes sense to me, though. How about a natural 20?
How about this flame... scorches forward, and you twist and twirl out of the way, and then land spin on your bare foot and like pirouette perfectly and come into your battle stance again. Nat 20, I'm gonna say take no damage.
Are you sure?
It just feels like, you know, it
it's
feels
so
like there
fun.
Should be something special.
I
if
get
you
it.
Do a natural miss and do double damage, I think if you get a natural 20, you should take no damage from it.
I'm down
I just
for
think
that.
That's fun.
I think that's, think that's fun. Too. And it's like I did a cool flip. I earned no damage by being fun.
Exactly. Your turn.
Okay.
One of them's a goat.
She's flipped in the back, and her legs push off the wall, and she jumps at this thing and is going to attack it with her X-Blade. Team X-Blades. Dirty 20.
Hits.
19 damage all day.
Alrighty.
And I'm going to hit with Spider Bite.
There you go. New sword.
10.
You're not quite used to the weight of it yet, as you go and forward and slash against this lion's head, and it roars, and then you swing again, but the snake-like tail dodges out of the way, and you roll on the other side and catch yourself. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, it is going to make three attacks.
The three Over six. Yeah, it hits me.
I'm going to see all of them, and then I'll do the damage.
Okay.
See if this one hits you. This is its second attack with the horns of the goat head.
It does not hit.
And lastly, the claw of the lion.
It does not hit.
Does not hit. But the bite of the dragon head does hit you, Mary. Dylan, 10 piercing damage.
I'll uncanny dodge it then.
Mm-hmm. So take 14. 5 damage. And here we are. It is your turn. The dragon head that snaps at you, now leering at you.
Two of my mirrors die, right?
Two of your mirrors are
burst into thin air. Can I main attack with spider bite?
Yeah, if you like.
Let's do that.
You quickly toss the weapon up in the air and crisscross them and catch them in your other hands.
Sweet dang. This bonus is wild now. Unreal.
Tournament.
21 to hit.
2006. Does.
Good.
Yeah, the physics for these kills are going to be all over the place.
It's going to be very
ragdolly.
13 plus 4 plus poison is 1.
So that's 18 total. And oh my god, this thing. Loses.
How low did you roll?
I rolled a 4.
My spell save's pretty good too. Oh my god, it's unconscious.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god. I want to climb on top of it and try and get to the...
Get out of the pit?
Yeah.
Make an athletics check.
13.
Its head falls and you run up its back as its like snake tail is lifting and falling.
Uh-huh.
You press on the cobra head and jump and leap and... slide against the ground. Slide back down next to your duplicate who looks at you like sipping a cup of tea and goes... Did you think that was going to work?
You're me. Be nicer. That's my turn. You have to have a turn first.
Yep. It sleeps.
It's like a Pokemon battle. Oh my gods. What a time to be alive.
The two Yak Folk wives are looking around the side like, oh.
Can I pull out my broom?
Sure. That you can do.
Pull out my broom. I get in the air. Can I try and Eldritch Blast the chain the princess is on?
Yeah, you can try and do that.
Spell attack bonus is what I add, which is 21.
Okay, it hits roll damage.
Cool. 16 damage all day.
Got you. Okay, the chain shatters and breaks. She runs forward and, like, rattles their cage trying to open it. Ooh, I think, yeah, this is what happens. Sorry, champ.
I know.
One of the ladies picks up a mallet and runs over to the side, which you can now see there's this brass gong, and he... Boom!
Oh,
boom,
no! Don't! Boom. No!
Sounds an alarm.
It's all right there.
Her sister wife assumes this martial artsy type of position. You see this chief like run toward you. He goes,
we'll do this the old fashioned way.
And he pulls out a sword. And as he pulls it out, it erupts in flames.
Oh no.
They're going to join the initiative counts.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it is your turn.
I do what? There's one cage in here, is that right?
There is, yes. And yeah, from your vantage, Halani is very, very tastefully hidden by one of the lanterns. So like, her privates are covered for the animators. Yeah. We're not trying to Kingdom of Death this.
Do any of them have keys?
He is wearing keys around his neck, as a matter of fact.
He's wearing keys around his neck?
Yep.
I would like to snatch the keys, seeker style.
Oh yeah, because you're on your broom. I want you to make a sleight of hand check with disadvantage.
Ooh, baby. 23.
Okay, you run forward and snatch these keys. He is going to get an attack of opportunity against you.
Sure is. Oh, but he has to, I have to see if he hits me.
Because there's a Miramari doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. And it hits my duplicate, if it hits.
It hits 13. Your duplicate? 16 plus 4 is 20. A barnyard 20. Hits your duplicate in a puff of flame and goes, why is this always happening to us?
Okay, I get it. Can I get it to the princess? I'm going to broom it over.
I get what you mean. Yeah, you're not going to throw it?
No, I'm not going to do it. Not today. She's got tight hands. This is important.
You run forward, snatch these keys. There's a ring of keys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fun home. I'm not going to sing it because it's not in my range. You realize you want to look like this Yak Folk when you grow up. This is your aesthetic. Just
I
the
grow
jewelry,
out my hair.
The flaming sword.
I do love
the hooves.
Fire. They ignited something in me. They're leaving
that's
me burning for something new.
That's $2. You want to make it three, young lady?
I'm just being an asshole. Ah, got it.
You dash these keys over to her, breaking them off the chain on his neck, going to the chain that is still dangling from hers, and you hand her these keys. She is low on the initiative, so she is going to try and open them on her count. Anything else on your turn?
Don't lose those. We need them for another person. As I'm, like, going up, I'm going to be between them and her.
Got you.
On a Quidditch, you're welcome. Tommy, thanks for listening. Evan.
Thanks for listening, Tommy. And Kevin, you said?
And Evan.
Thank you for listening, Tommy and Kevin, without the K. Why am I being arbitrarily mean to our listeners? I don't know.
Dear Kevin Hansen, what to say to you? There's so many things.
That was a lot. Oh my god. You feel suddenly sluggish as these dark inky sigils appear in front of your eyes. A bane has been placed on you. So it's going to be -1d4 to all your rolls.
Dang. And I roll it each time, right? It doesn't save whatever I rolled.
Exactly. No, you roll a fresh one. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh no, I'm on the -1. Whoa, no way, dude. I'm going to use some luck. Okay, that's much better. Jesus. 14.
Meet it to beat it. You hear a voice in your head go, down, but you ignore it.
Okay.
Then it is the chief's turn. So this chief runs around the pit, and you block his flaming sword with your two, deflecting them while holding onto your broom. It is then Helani's turn. She's going to try and unlock this cage, which she does, and the elf boys are free.
Are you all right, Your Grace? I'm fine. We have to help her.
They look down at the area that is covered by these Tibetan peace flags waving.
Uh-huh.
And say, how?
Ting-ting, ting-ting, ting-ting. Like sparks next to her face. And there's two ladies and then the big boy, right?
Diddle-dee-dee-dee.
And he's the only man.
Yuck.
All right, that broke me. That broke me. I'll hover in place, pull spider bite, and try and stab this man. This Yakman.
Yakman.
23.
Hits.
Okay. You have to make a con save.
Mm-mm. God damn it.
It's good.
Roll a 3.
Oh no! 15 damage normal, 5 damage poison.
So 20 total?
Yes.
Thank you for the distinction, because that will matter for many enemies, but not for this one. And Sleepy Baby. Ooh. And he falls. And he slides down into the pit with the chimera, and they nestle against one another.
I'll dismount this broom. Mm-hmm. She gets on top of it, mm-hmm. surfboard style, does a flip in the air, pulls out her portable hole, snaps it around it, scoops it up, puts that back in her pocket, and lands. And then runs forward, hexblade summoned mid-run, and stabs this woman.
Roll an attack.
This yak woman. 8.
8 does not hate.
No hate.
She's technically a cleric. Just because it's not a good god doesn't mean it's not a god. So make your dexterity saving throw for this one.
Dex, right? It's going to mm-hmm. be really good. 22.
So flames spark up in the area.
Flames on the side of my face.
Don't know what that is, but I'm happy for you.
Oh, Clue, the movie. Have you not seen this?
Oh, yeah. I just... Yes.
Flames licking at the side of my face.
Wow. Good. Deep cut, but I like it.
Not deep. Perfectly surface.
That's pretty deep. At the top of this round, 6 more yak folk stampede through this beaded curtain and come into the room. I'm going to have them go then. It is your turn.
6?
A half dozen.
I cast Shatter in the middle of all them.
Fuck yeah, dude. Sorry, you have to make a wisdom saving throw.
You're ready to. 16.
4 is not very good, and a 10 is not very good.
Both of them fail and take 15 damage each.
Nice.
Non-magical object, not worn or carried, takes damage in spell area. Can that make the wall wider? The
yes,
doorway?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I want. That's
the
what
hut
I want.
Collapse, but the roof is still intact, mm-hmm. and the beads go everywhere. Oh, it's going to take them so long to clean it up.
Oh,
you ever
man.
See a 2-year-old in a Michaels?
Good. Is that... Wow. Wait, that should be...
Difficult terrain? Yes. Yes, it is.
Do, 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 do.
Anything else on your turn?
There's too many civilians. I'm gonna get close to the two boys and the girl, and we're gonna bust out of here.
All right, you all group up.
Yeah.
Okay, the Zach folk are running toward you. The two dudes in front are, you know, the honor guard for this princess.
Dicks waving, swords out.
Stand back, ladies. We'll defend you. We stay close on your face and watch the horror. See, like, a little splatter of blood goes up on your cheek. And they're both dead now.
Oh, no.
But they took that round of damage for you.
That's nice of them.
The chief is asleep, so it is Halani's turn. And she goes, we're outnumbered. We must go now.
I say, do you trust me?
I suppose I have no other choice.
I hand her a big wing mushroom. And I have a big wing mushroom. And I eat it.
We're gonna call it there.
I dosed you just right. Don't worry, girl. Let me be your Sherpa.